Turn to the Word of God in a moment, but just first of all, I wanted to make a comment or two about the Sunday school that's beginning today, and just a couple of things: description, but then also encouragement to be thinking about Sunday school. So description. So, what is Christian education? Sunday school. I think this is brought from God's word, but say this: all of us have a responsibility to be trained in what God's word teaches and in what the church has taught from the word for many generations. So all of us have a responsibility to be trained, responsibility to God, that is, to be trained in what his word teaches us and what the church has taught for many generations. Now, I bring that out because, remember, Christian education really comes from the Great Commission. Because Jesus says, I have all authority and power has been given to me, so go therefore, right? And make not converts, but disciples. Make disciples, that is, people you're teaching and students who are receiving teaching, making disciples of all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe or obey all that I have commanded you. So that's why I get that all of us have a responsibility to be trained in what God's word teaches and what the church has taught from the word of God for many generations. So Christian education is all about becoming like Jesus Christ. It's making the word of Jesus dwell richly in all our hearts, young and old alike, in our thinking and in our behavior. Not just moral outlook, but our minds and our hearts. So receiving teaching from him enables us to think like him, and to therefore be more and more like him. So I think this teaching Jesus expects us to be fulfilled primarily about by worship, by our gathering, and we sing the word of God, and we pray the word of God, and we read the word of God, and it's proclaimed to us. But you see, Sunday school supplements that. It comes alongside that, and in a different way roots us and grounds us in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we have adult Sunday school. We have we try to have Sunday school for all ages to provide that. And I know that our teachers have already children. They've already been working hard, getting ready, doing their lesson ahead of time, and they're excited to see you when you come and begin to teach them a new Sunday school year. And same for the adults as well. We've been rooted and grounded in Christ. We're having the word of Christ dwell richly in us. We've been trained by God's word, and we've been trained by the doctrines of the church. So that's the description. And just let me say, I encourage you to participate, to be part of, bring your kids and the adults as well. Come and be part of Sunday school in this school year. Well, just those few thoughts about Sunday school. It's beginning today, of course. But let's turn to God's word. I've changed the Old Testament reading, and we're going to read from Proverbs 2. If you're using one of our church Bibles, page 528 in the church Bible, Proverbs 2. We're going to read the first 8 verses. And then we're going to turn over to Colossians 2. I want to ask you, as we read through this, and then we read the passage in Colossians, I want you to see if you see or hear the echoes between these two passages that we read together. So Proverbs 2, verses 1 through 8. My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding. Yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice and watching over the way of his saints. And now let's turn over to Colossians. Paul's letter to the church in Colossae, chapter 2. This reading is 983, the church Bible, 983. The first five verses of chapter 2. For I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not seen me face to face, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of full assurance, of understanding, and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I say this in order that no one may delude you with plausible arguments. For though I am absent in body, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the firmness of your faith in Christ. This is the word of the Lord. We thank him for it. Before we open the word, before we come to the Lord's Supper together, I'll pray and then we'll open God's word together. Let's pray. Our gracious Lord, thank you for the riches of your word. Thank you that in this most marvelous book, we find Christ. That we find the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who loves us, the one who died for us, the one who is risen and reigning. So we pray, Lord Jesus, that you yourself would come and that we would be drawn to you. We pray for that wisdom. We pray for that knowledge that is yours to give. Please give it to us, we ask, because we ask this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. So Paul is writing to Christians whom he's never met. This congregation in Colossae and the one in Laodicea are church plants from the church in Ephesus. Somebody from that church, a man called Epaphras, took the gospel that Paul had preached in Ephesus and went down the Lycus Valley and from town to town he preached Christ. And now Paul is writing to these congregations, people that he's never met and likely never did meet, but he's writing to them with a very clear message. Look to Jesus Christ. Look to Jesus Christ crucified and risen. Look to Jesus Christ alone. Don't add anything. Don't take away anything. Don't move away from anything. Why? Because Christ, he repeatedly says, is preeminent. Christ is the sovereign creator of all things. He is the only Savior. He is the only Lord. So look to him. Look to Christ. He's writing these words to these Christians in Colossae, not because there's trouble within the congregation. You notice that verse 5 here. He says, rejoicing to see your good order and the firmness of your faith in Christ. So there's not really major problems within the congregation. Rather, the trouble that this congregation is facing is coming from outside. And the things that are coming from outside cause them to be in danger of being distracted, of being sidetracked or confused or losing their focus. And it's things like plausible sounding arguments, right? That sounds good. You know, I get these things all the time. I guess it's just being a pastor, right? You get these emails or flyers that come in that, you know, the latest, greatest thing, right? Just you know, press the button and hey, presto, you got it, buddy, right? Is, you know, some method, some book, some DVD series or whatever, right? This is it, the latest thing. And there's so many of those things. And here, these Christians from things from the outside, things like false teaching that sound plausible, or shameful treatment from their non-Christian friends, being harrowed by them because of their commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. So they're being hit from all sides, all kinds of sides, and allured by multiple things. So they're in danger of being sidetracked, confused, losing their focus. And Paul says, so how does a Christian deal with this? Paul says very simply, repeatedly, clearly, Christ. Look to Jesus Christ. And he not only says that to them, he also says it to us. Jesus is all that you need. Look at verses 2 and 3. Because he says there that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I want you to get the kind of the feel of those words, the vibe, because the vibe is that Paul is writing in this particular kind of way to draw you to Christ, to say in your heart, I want him and what he has. If all my needs, right, if all I need are met in him, I want him, I need him. And Paul is writing in such a way to draw us as well, because it's so easy for us to be sidetracked. There's so much going on in our culture today. You know, it's dizzying. The changes, the rapidity of it, it's easy for us to be sidetracked or confused or to lose our focus. So what should we do? Look to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because in him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now listen, loved ones. It's only in knowing him that we're any use to the culture around us. It's only in knowing him more and better that we're any use as husbands or wives or parents. We're any use as congregational members. It's only as we know him. And loved ones, this treasure that we're writing about, the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, those treasures are there for you. So in a sense, they're, hidden, but they're freely available. They're only in him, but they're freely available to those that are his. My prayer as we come to the Lord's Supper, but it's not just today, but in the days ahead, my desire is that all of us will be fully convinced that in Jesus are all treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And that we'll be so convinced of that, that we'll actually go to him and ask him for those treasures. And we'll keep going to him. And the result, you see, will be that your heart will be encouraged, and mine will be too. And the result will be that we'll be knit together in love. And the result will be that you and I will live with full, assured sense of God's favor towards us. Now, all of that from coming and asking these treasures of wisdom and knowledge, Lord Jesus, I need that. Now, I have 2 points this morning, just two words, the word all and the word advantage. The word all and the word advantage. All, verse 3, advantage, verse 2. Look at verse 3 again. So this is the primary, the key verse of this little section of five verses. In whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now notice the word all. Doesn't say some. Doesn't say most. Doesn't say a few. Doesn't say partially. No, he says all. In Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Let me ask you, do you believe that? Do you believe that in Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge? Do you believe that all you need to know about God is found in Christ? Do you believe that all you need to know about yourself is found in Christ? Do you believe that all you need to know to relate to anyone else is found in Christ? Do you believe that? Now, notice that he's not saying all you need to know about absolutely everything is found in Christ. You know, how to do brain surgery, nuclear physics, all that isn't what he's talking to. However, listen, all you need for faith and life, all you need for relating to God and God relating to you, and you relating, right, on a horizontal plane to everybody else, to be a better husband, to be a better dad, to be a better mom, right? To be a better Christian, to run a business better, to do all those things, right? That wisdom, that knowledge is found in Christ. Do you believe that? I think that we want to say, yes, I want to believe that. Yes, I think I believe that. But here's the problem. In practice, we don't. In practice, we often live as if that isn't true. Because if you and I did believe it was true, we would not live life devoid of contact with Jesus so much. Right? If we believe, now think carefully of this. Think carefully of the question here. How much do you drink daily of the treasures of wisdom and knowledge that are in Jesus Christ? How often? Daily, right? This wisdom and knowledge that are only found in Him. How, right? What's your contact with Him? Is it once a week? For me? Dear ones, I would say that's not enough, drinking of this wisdom and knowledge that are found in the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to ask, right, am I really hungry for this knowledge and wisdom, apart from which I cannot live properly? So if not, are you really convinced that all wisdom and knowledge is really found in Jesus Christ? So all here means at least two things. It means that in Jesus we come to know God. Apart from Jesus, we cannot know God. John 1 and John 14, Jesus is declared to be God incarnate in the flesh. Jesus reveals God. Jesus is the one who shows us what God is like. God is Christ-like. And in Him is, you know, no unchristlikeness at all. That's the first thing. So I am the way, the truth, and the life. He who comes to the Father must come by me. But the second thing we see here, I think, is this. that in Jesus we come to know, really know ourselves. Now, why is that? Why is it that we can only come to know ourselves by knowing Jesus? Well, it's very simply this. Only Jesus can convince you of your sin and your need. I can't. You know, I can stand here and I can open God's word and I can declare what it means and what God says, but only Jesus Christ, by the Holy Spirit, can put his finger right where it needs to be put. And for you to say, okay, have mercy on me, Lord, the sinner. Right? Only the Lord Jesus can convince you of your sin and need. You're not able to do it. Only he can. Only he is able to forgive you that sin and to heal the brokenness that has come about in your life because of that sin. So only Jesus can convince you also of righteousness or of the judgment of to come. I can't do it. Not even you can do it. Jesus convinces us of the glories of God, the fullness of forgiveness that's offered in the gospel, and show us where our sin and need is, and our need for salvation, and how salvation works, and sanctification. He alone can do these things. So dear ones, watch yourself, because we've spoken these things today. We can say right now, I believe that, Pastor. I really do, honestly. I really believe that. But what about tomorrow, or the next day, or next week? We're tempted, I think, to say, no, I know how to get by. I've been doing it for a while now, Pastor. I can get by, right? And by the way, there's, you know, Dr. Phil or Oprah, if all else fails, or as my common sense, you know, I can do that. But not coming to the Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, to live my life in a way that brings glory to you and good to me is to go to you, these hidden treasures of wisdom and knowledge that I need to live my life. Now that leads to the second thing, which is advantage. What advantage is there in receiving his treasure? Let me read verses 1 and 2. For I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not seen me face to face, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now, we struggle about a lot of things, perhaps, in our life. You know, we talked about the culture already and the way things are changing so rapidly and so on. But I think what Paul is saying here really helps us, because this should be the real heart of our struggle. Right? If we're going to struggle, this is where we should struggle. And that is to be focused on these things. Struggling, right? Paul says, I'm struggling for certain things, for Christians to be encouraged. I'm struggling that Christians would be knit together in love and for the riches of full assurance to be there. And I think the picture is here, struggling means praying. And when I sit down and I visit with somebody and talk about the things of their soul, that this is the focus of my talking with them. So what should we be thinking about? Not so much our place in the culture today, not so much about, you know, politics and so on, but rather struggling must be to make sure that our hearts are stronger, to make sure that we're being knit together in love, to make sure that we are being fully convinced that the treasures that are in Jesus are, in fact, enough. So there's three things there. Grace for your heart, grace for loving one another, and grace for full assurance. Let's take each of these for a moment. So first of all, grace for your heart. He says that their hearts may be encouraged. Now, different versions, different translations have different words there. Consolation and strengthening may be encouraged. And the word comfort is actually two words. Com, which is with, and forte, which is strong or loud even. But the picture here is of this, with strength. That your hearts may receive strength, strengthening, power. And Paul's saying, right, I'm praying that you you'll get this. But what about the word heart? What is he referring to when he says, it's not this thing that's going boom, 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 but rather the heart means your whole inner life, not only your feelings. Not only your emotions or your thoughts or your desires, not only those things, but all of those things, everything that's on the inside, that all of it would be strengthened. To what end? Well, let me ask you, what is your inner self like? Some of us might say in response to that, well, I don't know because I don't like looking in there. Or maybe some of us would say, well, it's really quite messy in there. There's a lot of noise in there. There's a lot of distress in there. There's a lot of disorientedness and even dare we say it, dirt, dirty. It's dirty in here. Or anger, or just exhausted. My inside is just exhausted. And if the circumstances of life are hard, then the inside gets even worse, doesn't it? Paul says, I'm struggling, right? That's why he uses the word, because he understands that. He knows that that is the reality. It was then, and it is still now, the human condition. So he labors, he desires that they look to Christ, this treasure of wisdom and knowledge. Why? Because that wisdom and knowledge is what you need for that heart of yours to be strengthened. So he labors, and his desire is that through the Holy Spirit, the Christian will know these treasures of wisdom and knowledge so that we're strong-hearted. That our hearts are strong in Christ. That our hearts are strong with the wisdom that comes from Christ. That we receive his knowledge, right? So that the mess begins to become ordered. The distress is healed. That all these things that we struggle with, right? Anger gets turned to gentleness and meekness. That exhaustion is we're raised up on wings like eagles. And we run and we faint not. And that's what we need. Paul says, that you need is found in Christ. These treasures of wisdom and knowledge. But that leads us to the second thing. Grace for your heart. But grace for loving one another. I think this is how this works. As you grow in treasuring Christ, that will help you love his people more. That is, they'll the people at church won't annoy you as much as they perhaps do, right? I mean that's it. That's the picture. Is that you'll treasure Christ, and the result of treasuring Christ is that you'll love his people more. And the opposite is true. The more you're knit together with his people, the more you'll treasure Jesus. The more you'll treasure him. And that's how we grow in community together. You pursue this wisdom and knowledge in Christ, and it benefits me. And we pursue love with one another, and it makes us all join together to meet these treasures in Christ. So in other words, the Christian life is never an isolated one. We're not Lone Ranger Christians. There is no such thing. So I wonder, and this is another encouragement. How is our conversation with one another? What is our conversation like? Of course, there's a place for speaking to one another about, you know, how family's going or how health is going and how the occupation is going. All those things are important about interchanging with one another. But what about conversations that lead us to treasure Christ more? So it's not only talking to one another about how family's going and how work's going and so on, but are you treasuring Christ more? Like questions like how are you getting on reading your Bible? And as you're reading your Bible, is reading your Bible making you treasure Jesus Christ more and gain more of His wisdom and His knowledge? What are your struggles like as you're praying each day? How does treasuring Christ apply to you in your life as you've been thinking about this as a mom or as a student or as a single person? How have you taken these words and begun to live them out in your life? Is that part of our conversation? I'd encourage you to make it so, because that's how, as a congregation, we treasure this treasure that is Jesus Christ Himself. So there's grace for your heart. There's grace to be knit together in love. And there's grace for full assurance. Paul says, to reach all the riches of full assurance, of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Paul's longing, his struggle, is that all of us will have a full, clear understanding of how amazing the gospel really is. That note in our life, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. There's that sense, you get up in the morning, you go to bed at night. Wow, I am a Christian. Me. So full, clear understanding of how amazing the gospel is. And also that God's gospel is so completely adequate that all I need is found here. And to have that as a strong conviction. That's Paul's longing. Beloved, these are the blessings that we receive as we go to Jesus and we ask Him every day, Jesus, hidden in You are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Please open the treasure chest. Give me what You know I need. You know the mess that's in my heart. You know the struggle I have to love. You know the struggles I have with doubt and assurance and so on. Loved ones, don't just kind of ride along in passive mode with those things. Go to Jesus. He has what you need to help you with all those things. And He'll give you freely. He'll give you freely all that you require. Well, loved ones, we're about to gather at the Lord's table. And as we come to that table, we meet Christ Himself, because He comes.